closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
Yes, I'm going to quickly open with sports. A computer model has the Badgers going 13-0, including beating LSU and defeating MSU in the Big Ten championship game. What the hell? That comes from our favorite Michigan State fan. He discovered that online. Yeah, I told him I accept the Michigan State part of that equation, especially with Ohio State in complete flux now. Really? I'm not sure. I hope everybody's right, but I'm not sure who people are seeing in the Badgers. All right, enough on that. So Jason says, tell him not to talk about sports. Tell him not to talk about sports. All right, how about I talk about this? Appleton suspends more black students than whites. African-American students are suspended at a much higher rate than their white counterparts in Fox City schools, state and federal data shows. For those of you outside the Green Bay, Fox Valley area, Fox City schools are usually, Appleton, Nina Menasha. Would you throw Oshkosh in there? You tend to think of the Fox Cities as Appleton, Nina Menasha. I think it's a bit nebulous, but you are probably right in the purest form of the word. You could probably throw Oshkosh in. The most striking disparity is, though, in the Appleton area school district, where the latest federal data shows that 3.3% of black students in Appleton receive multiple out-of-school suspensions compared to 0.3% of white students. 3.3% of black students in Appleton receive multiple out-of-school suspensions, 0.3% of white students. What does that mean? That means black students are nearly 12 times more likely to serve multiple out-of-school suspensions than their white peers. However, the most recent numbers are 3 years old, from 2011. Last year, 10.7% of the district's black students were suspended, compared with 2.1% of white students. By the way, the figures do not distinguish between in-school and out-of-school suspensions. About 5% of Appleton's 16,000 students are black. Okay, listen to this. School officials say they recognize the inequity and are taking steps to improve the situation. The bottom line is it shouldn't be about what race or ethnicity a student is. It should be about behavior and providing a safe environment for every one of our students, said Ben Vogel, an assistant superintendent in Appleton, quoted in the Post Crescent newspaper. Oh, I'm sorry, Post Crescent Media. But still knowing most of our teachers are white, middle-class people, and may be limited in their experiences with students from other cultures, we know we need to do the best we can to train them in culturally responsive practices. Can that be translated into giving minorities a break? How does he know? Does he know that there is a racial element to this? Or do blacks offend at a higher rate than whites? Or are we never supposed to just ask that? Are blacks disproportionately more deserving of suspension? I don't know. I'm not saying they are. But this immediate assumption, most of our teachers are white, so you can kind of see where this would happen. Alicia Schiller said she was acting in self-defense when she punched another girl as a sophomore at Appleton North. Schiller, an African-American, now entering her senior year, was suspended for 3 days. Well, maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. Everybody's going to deny that it was their fault, black or white. I will say this. I think 3% and 0.3% are small percentages of both populations. Schiller is one of 59 black students among more than 1,200 white at Appleton North. She doesn't feel teachers discriminate against blacks purposely. See, it's that inherent racism that you just don't know. You're just not aware of. All right. Now, if what she says here is true, then this is measurable. She says that black girls are punished more often for dress code violations than white girls. I don't think teachers treat us differently. I think we just get noticed and get in trouble for a lot more things. Well, that doesn't even make sense. I don't even get that. All right, enough on that. I want to get into something else. Over the years, there have been stories out of Sheboygan that have given Sheboygan a reputation for having a lot of crackpots. Just a lot of goofy things that go on. I suspect there are people on the radio today that in Wisconsin that are going to consider this one of those stories. I do not. I think this story is very, very serious. And I'm going to ask a question to which I fully don't have the answer. And it's a question that by asking it, I may be criticized. But I'm going to ask it anyway. This is not a long story. It is in the Sheboygan Press Media, because we don't have newspapers anymore. Sheboygan Press Media. Very short, so I'm going to read the whole thing. A Sheboygan newlywed is facing 18 months in jail for allegedly beating up his bride on their wedding night. Jeffrey J. Schutte, 26, has been charged with two misdemeanor battery domestic abuse counts by the Sheboygan County DA. Misdemeanor. Listen to what he's accused of, and he's charged with two misdemeanors. According to the criminal complaint, okay, he's 26, the 22-year-old bride told police that after the Saturday night wedding reception, Schutte was drunk, but insisted on driving to the hotel anyway. She got a ride from someone else. She wasn't going to ride with him. She felt he was too intoxicated to drive. When they got to the hotel, the bride didn't want to, quote-unquote, get snuggly, and instead told Schutte that he ruined her wedding night. According to the allegations, he responded by punching the bride in the face several times until she locked herself in the bathroom. In the bathroom, she texted friends to come get her, but got no response. After it appeared Schutte had fallen asleep a little while later, she came out and tried to lie down on the bed next to him. But when he again tried to get amorous, she told him no, and he began punching her again, climbing on top of her and punching her numerous times in the face and head. This is a misdemeanor. She escaped to the bathroom again and called her new mother-in-law to come and help her. As the mother-in-law was coming in, Schutte was leaving the hotel after throwing all of the bride's belongings into the hotel hallway. By the time police talked to her, listen to this, Jason. By the time police talked to her, the bride's eye was swollen shut and her swollen face was numb. This is a misdemeanor? Her hand was injured from warding off blows, and she also had pain and abrasions to her right arm. When Schutte was picked up by police, he told them the bride had attacked and slapped him because he wasn't showing her enough attention and that his knuckles were scratched because he must have punched the door or wall. Yeah, that would explain the numbness and swelling and so on. Okay, this is the part that I want to focus in on. She told police she and Schutte had been together for 4 years and that he had been violent toward her numerous times in the past. But she reported it this time because she knew she would be unable to hide her injuries. Jason's asking, does she not have a dad or a brother or an uncle or someone who could kick this guy's ass? You didn't say that last part, but that's what you meant, right? Okay, that's what I figured. Now I'm going to ask what's going to sound like a judgmental question. This is their wedding night. This is not the first time it happened. In fact, she says he got violent with her numerous times, in the 4 years that they've been together before getting married. And I know that there's going to be the liberal Judd Lounsbury. I'll talk slowly so you can take notes. Why the hell would she marry this guy? Now, am I blaming the victim? No. This guy does deserve to be... And I absolutely feel that way. And I think it is ridiculous. This isn't felony battery. I mean, this sounds like great bodily harm to me. And I'm just shocked that these are misdemeanors. Did she think anything was going to change once they said, I do? If she's telling the truth, and there's no reason to doubt her story at all, if she's telling the truth, she knew what this guy does. And she married him. You're blaming the victim. I'm not blaming the victim. Nobody ever has a right to do this to anybody. This guy's a jerk, and I think he should go to jail for a lot longer than this punishment would allow, which is 18 months. It's not enough. It should be a felony, and it shouldn't be the Sheboygan County Jail. It should be prison. But do explain to me how a 22-year-old woman, a kid by my estimation at 53 years of age, would marry a guy when clearly she knew he was capable of this behavior. I'm not blaming her, but it was avoidable on her part to enter a union with a guy that over the 4 years they've been together established he was violent. I truly don't understand how a woman could marry a guy that has been violent to her in the past. They weren't married. The legal ramifications of getting out of the relationship were meager at that point. I want to know. And I am judgmental to this degree. I don't get it. I really don't get it. What did she think was going to change? Well, we're married. He won't beat me now. Really? We can take one call in this segment. Brad in Green Bay. Brad, go ahead.
Morning, Jerry.
Morning.
You know, as hard as it is for us to understand this, years ago when I was in law enforcement, I came across so many women that would get into these situations, and for whatever reason, it's a psychological deal, that they just can't break out of it. And I don't blame the victim, and I don't think you are.
No.
It's just you can't comprehend it, nor could I, nor can anybody that's not in that situation. With that said, this sentence or this charge that this guy just received is a joke. And as a result of that, I hope they would change that. And as long as we keep slapping these guys' hands like this and not really punishing them, we're going to continue to see this type of behavior. And as a result of that, by not keeping these guys away from these women, they fall back into it by no fault of their own other than the fact that it's a psychological thing that they get wrapped up in.
Is it really no fault of their own, though? I mean, you can't make any judgment call on, lady, get the hell out.
Well, I think you can to a certain extent, but I don't want to, and I tread softly here. Let's compare it to an addiction. You know, if somebody's an alcoholic, and those of us that aren't alcoholics can sit back and say, why would you drink yourself into that? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? You can't understand it. And it's something that person has to tackle and overcome on their own. And hopefully with the help services that are available, they can do that. It blows my mind as well, you know, and I would hope after this, if your husband beats you on your wedding night, this guy ain't going to change. This guy is a jerk. He's an ass. You need to run and run fast and stay away.
Okay.
And hopefully, this will be enough for her to do that.
I hope so. I'm not hopeful, to be honest. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Shane Green Bay, hang on, you're next. And we have a very interesting email from a woman on this. It's 921.
The Jerry Bader Show.